Well, welcome. Go to Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. First, I want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr and Reverend Joe Armstrong for giving us the opportunity to share God's word with you today. And thank you for standing. I have so much respect for all of you. You know, the world needs you, and we'll get into a little bit of that. So thank you. You've helped me so much, all of you. You know. And we were asked, why don't you teach on or share something that you love in the Word? And I got to say that, you know, I think all of us love a lot of stuff in the Word, I'm sure, right? Because of what God, I mean, he's it's just so matchless, infinite, gracious, merciful. But this, for me, is probably one of the all-time greats, Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." To think that God, who is so gracious, merciful, would work in you, in me, to will and to do of his good pleasure, because we know ourselves. So if you put it in perspective, you're like, okay, so we have a choice. We either believe it or not. Well, you want to see God's word work? Believe it. You know, you're a son of God. Ever since Romans 10:9, that you confessed it, and verse 10, you know, this is available, that God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When I heard that for the first time, it blew my mind. And I thought, okay, let's go. And maybe I didn't have it all together. I know I didn't have it all together. I still don't. But you get the picture. You're like, all right, let's go, God. Let's do this. And you know what? You can. I can do all things. Oh, that's the next one. Sorry. Philippians 4:13. I went ahead of myself. I get excited because of God. And you know, this is also something that you continue learning, right? But it says here in 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. I can do all things. And you know what? The pressure is off you, right? You just believe that God's going to work in you, and you can do all things through Christ, through what's inside you, the Christ in. And that's what we're going to look at today. A little bit of the Christ in and a little bit of the walk, if you don't mind. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. If we take a step back and put it in perspective, this kind of tells us that, okay, this is where we were at, sort of. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, you can look it up on your own. We're as righteous as God, you know? So when you got born again, you're righteous. And Dean will share a little bit of that. Oops, I gave it away, sorry. Romans 3:21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that," what? "Believe." It's not by works. Romans 10:9, I don't think there's any word in the verse 9 or 10 that says works, does it? It's believe, right? Keep your finger here. Let's go there because I keep talking about it. Just so we could, maybe I could refresh my memory. Romans 10:9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all it took. That's what got us in the door. And that's what people out there are waiting for. They're waiting for you to tell them this, that this is how simple it is to believe this. That's it. That most people, and I'm sure you've talked to some, they can't believe it's this simple, but God made it that simple. And then on top of it, God can work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that neat? I mean, it's awesome. Go back to Romans 3. And we'll pick it up in 22 again. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. That's it. We all messed up at least twice. God knows that. The only one that didn't mess up is Jesus Christ. That's why we needed a Savior. And sometimes in my fellowship, I mention this and we talk about it, how out of all the times we could have lived in history, we could have been, and not because I'm Italian, but we could have been in Romans, we could have been with the Greeks, you could have been with, name it, throughout all history, you know. And what a great time to live after the day of Pentecost, you know, in a grace administration. And you know what's really neat? You don't lose the spirit you got, the Christ in. You can't lose it. And the Old Testament was spirit upon, right? You got it in, you got it in for the rest of your life. It's awesome. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Because of who we are in Christ, God could work in us. It's awesome. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, thank God, but of power, dunamis, potential power. You know what that means? It's like a car, a race car. Imagine the race. I don't know if anybody races cars like really fast, but they have X amount of horsepower. I don't know how much it is, but you get the idea, right? What if it's parked? It's not really using that horsepower. Well, you got horsepower in Christ. Potential power, dunamis. And of love. This is agape. That we could love with God's love. That's beautiful. That we could love somebody, embrace somebody as if God is doing it. That's how God works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Somebody needs healing. They need love. They need a kick in the butt, which can be love sometimes. It, you know, can be love, too. Bringing them back to the word, it's okay. If it's done in love, the love of God, there's a profit. But that's what this spirit has, one of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I know before I got in the word, gosh, my mind used to race a lot. I was either depressed or too fast. Like one or the other, and that's either end sucks. But that we could have a sound mind, that you could think whole thoughts. That's what that means, to think whole thoughts. So God didn't mess around when he gave us the Spirit and made it available. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, and I really love this chapter. I'm sure I'm not alone. How God puts things in the past in these 10 verses. This is just so amazing, you know. Verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we were. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times what? Past. In our way, our manner of life was according to the world. And according how it spun you around. And that's past. That's what God says. Hey, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I love how God says that. Were. That's past tense. I'm not an English major, Helen and some others, but that's past, right? Past tense. Helen helps me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were the worst, in the worst place, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By what? Works you're saved? No. There's that grace word again. Can't get away from it in our administration. If we're thinking soundly, it usually dwindles down to grace. And I know there's believing in there. You all believe. I mean, that's the word. You do the word. But a lot of times, our life, stuff that happens in our life, it dwindles down to grace. And that's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. Verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace," there it is again, "are ye saved, through faith or through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Go to Galatians 2:20. God's word is so nice. Gosh, the manifestations. Right after that, I really thought of like doing a couple verses and saying, let's go eat, you know? You got to eat, right? God is so good. You know, we were dead. We were. Body and soul, that's all we had. God made man and woman to have what? Three parts, right? And this verse is so neat. Verse 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or believing of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We have life. That's love. That's God's love. He gave us life, the Christ in. First John chapter 5, another nice verse. They're all nice, I guess, right? I'm sorry to disappoint you. We're not going to read about wars today and stuff like that. So, 1 John chapter 5. It's still God's word, though. 1 John 5:12. And this is really neat. It says, "He that hath the Son hath" what? Life. That word life is Zoe, life in all its manifestations. "He that hath the Son hath life." We have life. You have Christ in, you've got life in all its manifestations. There's no limit to what God can do for you. You know, there's no limit at all. And there's no limit to what we can do when we're walking sharply, circumspectly with God. No limit. Not even the sky's the limit. I don't know. Maybe you got to go out of space and do something one time. I don't know. Why not? Why couldn't God do that? You know? Has anybody had that revelation yet? No. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Well, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. And this is pretty black and white. Verse 27. It says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is" what? "Christ in you." That's what you've got. You've got Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. You know? And it's not about how we feel. Now, granted, okay, sometimes, some days, as you know, maybe it's a little bit of a push. You're more groggy than other days, you know. Maybe today was one of those days because it was rainy. You wanted to sleep, like, till 11 or 12 or something. I get it. But we got Christ in you. Sometimes it's not about how we feel or don't feel or what we did or didn't do. We have Christ in us. We should be thankful. What's your identity? Is it that I'm an architect? Screw that. I'll throw that out the window. I don't care about that. The greater reality is that we have Christ in us. It's Christ in you. And that's precious. You know, what's the MasterCard? They have those commercials. Priceless. This is priceless. They have Christ in you. Go to Romans 8. Set in the manifestation, so maybe we don't have to go there. No. Romans 8, verse 37. Romans 8, 37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him that loved us. You know, we're more than conquerors. That's what the word says about you and me. We're more than conquerors in any situation. So if you think you can't do something or can't handle something, you know what? I get that maybe you're being honest, but maybe it's fear. And you just need to decide to believe God's word, that you are more than a conqueror. You could probably go more. Athletes do it all the time, you know. So why couldn't we do it? By walking by the Spirit, by letting God work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, confessing that it is Christ in us. You ever read about Jesus Christ, what he did? There's one record, and I always want to go to it. I even have it on my side notes here, but we're not going to go there. You can look it up. He passed through the midst of them. They were going to throw him over the hill. That's Jesus Christ, and that's who's in you, and that's who's in me. So you want to talk about walking through. I don't know how that happened. I don't know, but that's what the word says, right? So it's Christ in you, more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Same chapter, go to verse 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, what God gave, there's nothing bad. There's nothing negative in it. Nothing. It's all good. It's all profitable. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. And you know this word, adoption means sonship. We're sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, like all the kids that came in today. It's awesome. Everybody's like, goo, goo, ga, yeah. But that's what that is. That's it. When God looks at us, he's like, all right, and we're, goo, yeah. The simple sounds that a baby makes. You know? Think of how God is so pleased with you, how he loves you. He'll do anything for you according to his word. You know? Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. Colossians. Oh, wait, I had one more before Colossians. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. We read it already, but it's okay. It won't hurt. And I don't think we could get enough of God's love, of people telling us that God loves you and God loves me, right? Another thing I don't think we ever get enough of is being reminded that it is Christ in us, who we are now. Forget the past. We'll get to that too. But who are you now? You are a believer who has Christ in them. And there's no limit to what you can do. No limit. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies spiritually. I know we're here in this world. We probably keep it together because of prayer and believing God, or help keep it together, I should say. You know, but, you know, we're seated in the heavenlies. Get that perspective. That's a cool way to start your day. All right, looking down. Not down at people, just the right perspective. Colossians 1. Colossians, Eric, Rosa. Eric Rosa had, I don't know if it was band fellowship or something. He had all the French. You want to go through at least just the seven epistles? Do you mind? I don't want to put you on the spot, but yeah. Do you mind? Stand up and just Romans through Thessalonians.
Philippians. Colossians.
I forgot what Thessalonians was. Thessaloniki? Oh, there you go. Well, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. That wasn't in my notes. Sorry, Eric. Verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Meet. What does it mean? It's not meet. It means to make sufficient, render fit, adequate. So you want to talk about or ask if you can, you know, do the greater works than he did because he went unto his Father? Yeah, you can. God made you adequate, that you can do it, rendered you fit. Let's look at verse 10 through 14. It says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's a good thing to increase in. And you know, knowledge puffeth up. There's a reason why we increase in the knowledge, so you can increase in the application of it, in the doing of the word. It's not so we can use it as a stick to say, well, I know, you know, 10 more verses than you do. That's stupid. That's carnal. So, yeah, increasing in the knowledge of God is a good thing so we could walk on it. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet adequate, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered here means that we've been rescued, in basics. We've been rescued, delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, we're not of the world anymore, folks. Just admit it. Just confess it. Just go, okay, I admit it. I accept what God's word says. That's all it takes. That's believing. That's as simple as it is, accepting what God says. And you could apply that to any verse, any part of Scripture, especially if it's applied to you directly, which is the New Testament, the epistles, you know, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You're not in the devil's grip anymore. You know, he can't spin you around that easy. In fact, it's so great. I still remember and I get chills when Joe one time taught how, you know, we're his adversary. He gets shook when he sees you. He's dealt with Jesus Christ. Screw him. He gets shook when he sees you. So walk. Walk with confidence. It's available. You know, Christ has given us everything you need. We'll get to that too later. Complete. Nothing's lacking. Nothing's lacking. There's no limit to what you can do with God. You got Christ in you. Deliver us out. Middle of 13, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Translate is given us citizenship, you know, in God's kingdom, basically. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And forgiveness is a big deal. You know, many times it really starts with you, believing that God's forgiven you. Well, all right, there it is, the word. And when we do mess up, you know what? He'll still cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's available to live free. We have life in all its manifestations. Don't cover it. Like, I can't think of an example, but if you have, you know, something really beautiful that people think is really cool, like whatever, piece of art or a light or something, and then you go cover it, what good is that? You know? Let it shine, baby. 1 John chapter 3. You've been forgiven. Live like that. And I get it. We all sometimes go through stuff. But God's word is still greater than the situation, isn't it? Sometimes it's a very simple thing that we need, you know. Sometimes we get, maybe we get, you know, tricked or something into thinking, I need to do this, that before God will love me. Well, wait a minute. We're his sons. We're like the babies that came in before. You know, like we go, and God is right there. You could even spit up and God will still love you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And that word behold is look to the end of perceiving. It's not just a flyby. It's where you look at it. You focus. And that's cool. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Well, one of the things he did is he gave his only begotten Son, right? So we could have life. Let's be thankful. You know, great time to live. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That word now is a ever-present reality. Sorry, my fellowship. Now, now, now. I do this in fellowship. These are my teachings. I just repeat the same word. It's now. Now. It's not a has-been. It's an ever-present reality. We're sons of God when?
Now.
Now. When?
Now.
That's right. And every second that goes by, you're a son of God with all power. Colossians 2. That's why we got to just, a lot of times with the word and with our life, we're happier when we're looking at the word, right? And looking at God, who is light. It's that simple. Put your head in the word. If you're not happy, put your head in the word. You'll get happy if you're believing and trusting him. Sometimes I laugh at myself at how simple it is because I'm stupid. That's why I'm laughing because I'm not that smart. And then I go, okay, well, God's smarter. And I admit it. So, all right, I'll look at your word. And somehow it happens where the effervescence happens. You know what I mean? You get bubbled up. You get excited. You're silly. Silly is good. Anyway, Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. You want to look at how Jesus Christ walked? Guess what? You have about, let me see. That much. That's it. Our greatest example. Read it. You know, me too, by the way. I read these stupid, thick books when I had to get licensed for being an architect. And you know, the time that we take in that, and don't condemn yourselves, and I shouldn't either, but think about it. Put it in perspective. You want to learn how Jesus Christ walked? You want to continue really learning? Because it's kind of a life endeavor, right? That's all it is, right there. It's not that much, and you'll be happy for it. So, he says here, can somebody reread that? I lost my place here. Colossians 2:6, loud.
Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
Yeah, that's it. Walk ye in him. And we're able to. Go to Romans 6. Again, God made it available for us to do this. He wouldn't give us something without the instruction, and that's all in the word of how to do it. And we're just going over a few things, a few verses of how to walk and to walk, you know. There's many more than what we're seeing today, but you know that you can walk. You have Christ in. You know, you're adequate. God enabled you. Romans 6:4. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Walk according to the new man, folks. It's fun. And it's not like you haven't done it. All of you in here have done it. You know, but don't be so hard on yourself. It's simple. You know, I'm not going to get up because of the mic and all that stuff, but when you walk, do you walk this way? Like, do you go this way and turn your head? No. You go where? You walk forward. And that's how we're to walk. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. God doesn't leave us hanging. You know, he gives us and gave, made available for anyone that believes, Spirit and his word. So we go to it to learn how to apply it, right, and how to walk. And here's one of the coolest things we can do. And it's simple. It's not hard. I don't think any of this is, you know, hard, really. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." And you know that followers is imitators, right? "And walk in love as Christ also loved us." God says, walk in love as Christ loved us. Well, let's look at what Jesus Christ did, you know, and you'll know. He says, walk in love, that we could walk in love, walk with God's love, as if God is just taking care of somebody. You know. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You know that we on this earth take the place of Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God. And, you know, the word even says greater works that we can do because he went unto his Father. That to me is just like still. But yeah, we can. You know what? Speaking in tongues, getting people born again. You know, we're the ones here who bring in the word to the people out there. You know, people need the word. And most people, a lot of people, I don't say, not most, but a lot of people don't know how hungry they are until they start eating. That happened to me. You know, Dean spoke the word to me. I was like, yeah, whatever, first few times. And then I realized, okay, all right, I get it. And then I realized I was friggin' starving, not just hungry. And that was it. You know, the lights started going off. I go, okay. And there's many people like that. And you know what's neat about the body? Is that each one of you, no one, not only that no one can replace where you sit in the body, but that the people that you come across, your life will affect them like no other. You know, there's people that I could reach that maybe you can, and vice versa, that you can, and that I just can't get in there. It just, that's the beauty of the body, you know. But let's move it. Let's move it. We got to stop thinking of ourselves. Stop thinking disparagingly of yourself. We have Christ in you, or Christ in us, rather. So Luke 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Man, you could heal people. This is Jesus Christ, because it's in red. No, I'm kidding. I know this is the Gospels, but this is what we could do today for people. And gosh, when somebody comes to the Word, gets healed, and understands the Word, how do you think God feels, let alone how excited we get? So we're doing what he did, to preach deliverance to the captives. And there's so many that are behind bars that are not in prison, if you know what I mean. People need to know that they're free. They need to know that they're forgiven. We need to hear that, let alone people that didn't even read a verse yet. They need you. It's Christ in. This is what Jesus Christ did, you know, and gosh, all the other things he did. But that's what we do, you know, for people. "And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." You know, it's great to live free. It sucks to live in the prison. So walk, because you can. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? The Spirit. Do you realize that part of the whole package that you got when you got born again, there's no condemnation as part of the package, part of what we got inside? That's the beauty of this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Man, you can't condemn, well, yeah, I guess you can, but let's stop condemning ourselves and each other. You know, build each other up with this stuff, that it's Christ in. That's the way to live. And you know as well as I do, when we condemn ourselves, we're just heavy. We're like, you can't get out of it. I can't. I'll speak for myself. Get out of my own way. Then you got to go, wait a minute. God doesn't want me to condemn myself. So, boom. And I know at times you may go through stuff where you're not too happy about what you're going through. I mean, but give it to God. God will help you. You're his kid. He's like the babies, you know. That's how God, he just loves you. He just wants to take care of you. There's times that stuff happens. I know. That's why God puts it in his word. But God is a God who heals, who loves. You know, many times when we just get naked with God, it's you don't have to do all the lists that you think you have to do to get right with God again. It's just, God, I need help. Okay, boom. And all of a sudden, it just starts pulling together. That's how God works. You know? So don't be heavy. Walk free. Walk free. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. And you know what the key to power is? The renewed mind. The renewed mind. And that's it. That's where it's at. We're able to think whole thoughts, sound thoughts, right? As born-again believers. So, renew your mind back to the Word of God. Not to the situation, to the Word of God. You know, if something is crooked, just go, okay, what does the Word say? And adjust. That's it. Adjust. And maybe it takes months of that adjustment. Maybe it does. But you'll be better for it if you adjust. Philippians 3. 13 and 14, it says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? I know when I was growing up, I used to hear the phrase, you can't cry over spilt milk, right? Spiritually, it's the same. It's past. Forget about it. And I know sometimes you may have to take a little repair time. I get it. God gets it. Forget that I get it. God gets it. But his word is still true. We got to forget those things which are behind and reach forth, right? Again, when you walk, do you walk backwards? Do you walk looking this way? No. Forward. Ephesians 4. And that's a big part of our walk. The past is the past. Our old man's dead. Yeah, there's a lot to that, too. Can't cry over spilt milk. I remember hearing that. I thought it was about, like, kittens when I first heard that. But then now I understood. Like when I was 22. No. Ephesians 4. Where did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 21. Actually, 22. Here we go. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the what? The old man. We have life, newness of life now, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's a big part of the walk. Forgetting the past, put on the new. That's all it is, right there. Five simple verses, Philippians and Ephesians. You put on the new. You know, you don't walk better with God by thinking of repairing the old man. You just declare what it is, dead. It's done. Done. I have newness of life. Put on the new man, just like we put on our clothes, right? Galatians 5, 16. A few more verses. We're almost done. Galatians 5. It's like when a baby starts, you know, I think about these kids. They're awesome. But when some of these kids started walking or will start walking, they'll fall. You know that. I know that. But they don't really stay down too long. They try to get right back up, right? That's how we're to walk. God's with you. He's not going to leave you. He said it right in Manifestations. He's always there by our side. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why you just walk according to the Word. That's it. You don't pay attention to the old man. You just walk according to what the Word says. And the rest will take care. It's like, it really is like Matthew 6:33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added. It'll just fall in place, wash away. In verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So do it. You make the decision. Romans 5. And, you know, some of the things I shared, and even this, a lot of times people are held back, whether it's condemnation or they think God is mad. Well, let's read this. God's not mad at you. He loves you. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified. And you know what that means? Justified? Just as if you haven't sinned. That's God's grace. You know, I know that's like the ghetto version of justified, but it communicates. You know, the hood. Being justified by faith, by believing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not at loggerheads. God, when he looks at you, he is pleased. He loves you. We have peace with God. God's not mad. That's like the religion painting, you know. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by believing, that we have access to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That still blows my mind. As you know, as we walk and are learning how to walk more and more, it just blows my mind that we have access to God. And that's great. What a privilege. You know, we don't have to go through another man. You have access to the one, God. Into this grace wherein we stand. And yeah, it is grace. And, you know, standing is, it's a big deal. Standing on the Word, day in and day out. You know, believing that you're a son of God, right? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yeah. So we have peace with God. And to close, Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10. So God loves you. You're his son. You're his daughter. What is it that he wouldn't do to help you in any situation? You know, this isn't something that just applies to certain people. This applies to every believer that believes what God's word says. He'll do it for you. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God will work. There's no limit, no limit at all. And here, Colossians 2:10, it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Complete, nothing lacking, zero. There's nothing lacking in the Christ in. You know, all that we've got in Christ will help us a lifetime. You know? All right? That's what I wanted to share. I'm going to pray. Thanks, Father, for your word, and thank you for us being righteous and having Christ in, and that we could walk with power. We're sure thankful for that. And thankful for your word that we can learn and continue learning how to walk with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.